Hello.
All right, works.
Hello.
So Shane asked me a couple of weeks ago if I would kind of give a little bit of a testimony on my experience with Fight Club. I went through my first chapter back in the spring, and probably like a lot of guys in this room who've been through it and who haven't been through it, I always had an excuse why I wasn't going to do it. And, you know, finally God just spoke to me and said, it's time to put the excuses away and take the next step. And that's really what Fight Club is all about, is taking that next step, bringing your walk with Christ closer and deeper, and then working on your family, your relationship with your spouse and your kids, you know, the way that God intended us to do it. And so I was kind of putting together my testimony, and then really a whole lot of stuff happened in the world and in my life these past couple of weeks, and God just put on my heart to share a little bit of something different. And then he kind of put the seal on the deal when I read Hebrews 3:12 through 14 the other day. And he said, this is your words for this morning. So I'm going to read from Hebrews 3:12 through 14. And I'm reading from the ESV. Apologize for those that are reading through the King James. But so starting in verse 12, it says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. And it's that word exhort. And so if you look up exhort, specifically the word that's used here in the Greek, it means to encourage, to urge, and it's a call to action. That's what we're being called to do here daily, every day. And so that's kind of what I want to do with you guys here for a couple minutes this morning. So the first thing that kind of spoke this into my life is, as a lot of you guys know, I did 21 years in the military. I did 5 deployments to Afghanistan. That's 3 years of my life that I sacrificed a lot, sacrificed some friends. And like a lot of you and a lot of veterans, I started to think, was it worth it? With what we saw go on just a couple weeks ago. And to me, I struggled with that. And I thought about this. For 20 years, women were able to work, drive cars, girls were able to go to school, and a whole lot of other things. I was on missions where our mission was to protect a school because we built it and they kept bombing them. But day in and day out, tour after tour, we were doing that. The most important thing that happened for 20 years, something that had not been happening before, is the gospel was almost freely spoken in the country of Afghanistan for 20 years. There were seeds planted for 20 years under the protection of the U.S. service members. And as we know right now, it's almost a certain death penalty for you to spread the gospel, but seed was planted. Missionaries were able to travel almost at will for 20 years. So was it worth it? I think so. Most importantly, as I watched Afghanistan fall, and as I saw the scenes play out on the news, I was actually with a bunch of other special operations guys down in Pennsylvania on a work trip, and we just kind of watched it, and we all had flashbacks. We had all been in Kabul. We'd all been in the countryside, some of us several times. And my heart broke mostly for the women and children. You guys probably saw that. Women throwing children over the fences so they can escape the evil that's ruling that country right now. But you know what broke my heart the most and what hurt me the most? Only because I spent 3 years of my life working with the men of Afghanistan, is I said, where are the men? They kind of collapsed. And it really made me mad. And in a way, we gave them freedom for 20 years, but when it started to cost them something, when it meant their life, what did they do? They ran away, right? They were willing to climb on an airplane. That's not going to work out versus fighting the Taliban. There were some that held out, mostly the commando units, but for the most part, the men just kind of collapsed. They didn't fight for their families. They didn't fight for freedom. We gave them freedom for 20 years, but it wasn't worth dying for. It wasn't worth fighting for. And as I've seen some people walk away from Christ, you are given a taste of freedom. How can you run away from that? How can you not stand up and fight for that, you know? When start, especially when it starts to cost you something. I'm sure we've all seen people where it started to cost them something and they just gave up, they walked away. Are we seeing that with men in our church? Have we seen it with men in our church? It's going to start costing us something. We've already seen it. Are you willing to stand up, draw a line, and not retreat? Genesis 3:9, as you know, Eve had just taken from the tree, the fruit of the tree. She was tricked by Satan. And we know Adam was there because she says she gave it to Adam who was with her, right? And so what in Genesis 3:9, we see God, he's looking for Adam. And what does he say? Adam, where art thou? Right? God knew where Adam was physically, right? It wasn't a question of that. But God had given Adam a God-designed, a God-created, a God-given role. That's what he's asking Adam. Where are you in that role that I gave you? So God's asking Adam, where are you at? Or as Tony Evans says, if you've ever listened to him, he's a trip. He says, Adam, where are you at? So where was Adam when it came to his God-designed role? Where are we when it comes to our God-designed role as men? The theme of our chapter for this upcoming Fight Club that starts Friday night is Man Up. And I want to read from you from 1 Kings 2:2, because we see David on his deathbed, and he's essentially telling Solomon to man up. So this is David speaking to Solomon on his deathbed. He says, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, his testimonies. David's telling Solomon, it's time for you to man up. And how does he tell him to man up? By walking in God's ways and keeping true to his word. If you want to know what it means to be a man of God, you got to look up and you got to look it up. And that's the point of Fight Club. That's what we do. And you got to apply it. A lot of us here, great preaching every Sunday, but are we taking that and applying it to our lives, especially in our roles as men? Adam had God's word for him. God made it simple, right? I want you to take care of the garden and to keep it, which keep it means to protect it. So God, Adam had God's word, but he failed in applying it to his life. There has to be application of God's word in your life, and that's the point of Fight Club. There's assignments every week where you're not just taking what you're reading and walking away, but you're taking it and you're walking it out. And it's starting to cost you because, you know what, it's okay. The world's kind of okay with you saying you're a Christian and reading God's word, but what does the world do when you start applying it, when you start walking in that word, in your job place, in your society, in your culture? Our theme for Fight Club is Nehemiah 4:14, our theme verse. And it's Nehemiah, and he's saying, as I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. It's a call to action, right? As the men are rebuilding the walls, Nehemiah has them laying stones in one hand and they're holding swords and spears in the other hand, right? And I was actually rereading through this section when I was getting ready to talk this morning, and I went up to verse 9, and it says, and we prayed to our God and set a guard as protection against them day and night. We see spiritual and physical application. There's a lot of times where we get the spiritual part of it, but are you ready for the physical application? There's times where God is calling you to action. We see a lot of it throughout the Bible. Are you ready for the action when God calls you? In Ezekiel 22:30, it says, and this is God, and I sought a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap. He was looking for somebody who was willing to man up. Anybody. God's looking for a man. He's looking for men that are willing to man up, build the wall, stand in the gap. Hebrews 10:39, and this is one of my favorite verses. It says, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. You've got to make a stand at some point. You got to draw a line. You have to have the courage not to shrink back. So yesterday was the 20th anniversary of Todd Beamer. Like many of you who were alive and old enough to remember it, I had just, I enlisted into the military on September 11th, 1996. So that was my five-year anniversary. I had just transferred stations from Germany. I was stationed in Germany. On September 10th, I flew from Frankfurt, Germany to Boston to Austin, Texas, the day before. And as I watched what you all watched, man, and just yesterday, watching a lot of, you know, listening to some of the speeches and watching the memorial services, it was like it was happening again. I'm sure a lot of you felt that same way. And it made me think of a saying. 2 months after 9/11, I found myself on a vacation to Afghanistan, hiking through the mountains on a hunting trip. And every time we would get ready to roll out on a mission, we were wearing our FDNY or NYPD baseball caps. And as we were departing on the helicopter or in the vehicles, however we were going to our target, we'd always say, let's roll. I don't know if anybody remember the story of Todd Beamer, his famous words. When President Bush kicked off Operation Enduring Freedom, that was his words, right? Let's roll. So those that don't know about Todd Beamer, he was a godly man, a Christian man. He taught Sunday school in his church. He led youth group for his church. And he was on Flight 93, the flight that crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And so that was back when it was okay to use your cell phone on an airplane. And as you guys know the story, some people received some phone calls, right? And it was their wives, brothers, whoever calling them and saying, hey, I know you're flying this morning. Are you hearing what's going on? Two planes have hit the World Trade Center. And so Todd Beamer's overhearing these conversations. His wife is pregnant with her third child. I think she was a few weeks out from being due. So he battled, do I call her and stress her out or not? So instead he picked up those airphones. They don't have any more but the phone in the back of the seat, and he dialed zero and he got an operator, the people that manage that phone service. And he said, hey, I'm on flight 93 right now. I just heard what's going on. Four men just stood up and took over the airplane. I want you to know what's going on. And so they put a member of the FBI on the phone line. The operator gets a member of the FBI, and he's able to describe step by step, here's what's going on. And the operator remembers wanting to say to him, you got to do something, but she didn't want to worry him. If you've ever watched a video, it's pretty heart-touching. And when you watch the operator's testimony on what happened, she can't help but remember how calm Todd Beamer was. And she overhears conversation with Todd, and he's talking with some of his fellow passengers, and she hears him putting together a plan. She can't make out quite for sure what's going on, but she hears Todd putting together a plan with some of his fellow passengers. And he asked her if she would pray with him. And it was at that moment she knew what was going on. She knew at that moment, Todd knew it was the end. And he was going to stand up and take action. And he was going to draw a line against evil and say no further. And then he, by heart, recited the 23rd Psalm with her. He stood up, he stood in the gap, he drew a line. And the last words she heard from Todd, and the last words we have on recording, is he said, are you guys ready? Let's roll. And as you know, they stormed the cockpit, took the yoke, and crashed the plane, because Todd Beamer knew that it was time for me to stand up, build a wall, stand in the gap. I'm going to sacrifice my life so that others on the ground don't have to die. So I got to ask, men, where are you at? What's holding you back from taking that next step and truly fulfilling your God-designed, God-created, God-given, God-ordained role as men of God? Maybe you're a smoldering wick today, and you need to be fanned back into flame. Maybe you've grown lukewarm. Jesus warns us about what happens when you're lukewarm in the book of Revelation. I'm sure a lot of you are going to be pretty excited today when your favorite football team kicks off. A lot of you are already fired up. I've already heard you talk about it, right? Can you get us that fired up about your role as a man of God? Maybe you're a seasoned warrior. You've got it all figured out. You're in the Word daily. You're praying daily. You're living it out. Well, we need you in Fight Club too, because we've got guys who are new believers. They aren't seasoned, and they need a seasoned warrior to come alongside them. Just like in the military, you get a battle buddy. Your battle buddy when you're young is somebody who's more seasoned, and his job is to train you on how to be a better warrior. We need that, all right? We don't just need new guys or guys who are smoldering wicks. We need guys who are on fire for God to come out and help others get on fire. So I want to ask you to prayerfully consider coming out to the kickoff rally at least. It's Friday at 11:30. And in the words of Todd Beamer, let's roll.
Did he shut it off? No. Thank you, Ray. That was a blessing, huh, for us to hear that. At this moment, can I have everybody that's been a part of Fight Club or gone through it at least just stand up, guys? Can you just stand up out of your seats, please? So, it's a 10-week challenge. And the guys that you see in this room that actually went through it, they're not the only ones. This is actually a worldwide ministry that started right in the United States. It touches a lot of different places in the world. And, you know, the blessing behind it is when we had our first kickoff rally here in Wyoming County, there was 6 other churches that came together. Didn't care the denomination, didn't care that. They just wanted to get together. And they wanted to start getting deeper with God. And I think that's a good movement right there, right, guys? So praise that. What we want is, for us, we're just asking for prayer. We need prayer. Men need prayer. We're living in a society that, to be honest with you, we've had other people come up against because they think it's too masculine or it's putting women down. Or that's not the heart at all. As a woman, you should want your man to be in the battle fighting for the kingdom. Why? Because that's the role. That's important in today's society. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So encourage your men, right? Get them off the couch and get them out and get them engaged. Because we have a little group and there's still guys that are sharing their hearts behind the scenes on things that are going on in their life. So like Ray said, you know, part of Fight Club is leave no what? Man behind. No other man behind. And that's part of the ministry because people struggle. Here's a real quick testimony, and I can wrap it up so Jeff can get up here. I was going through some real tough things in my life, and I didn't know if I was going to do one chapter of Fight Club, but I knew the importance of Fight Club and what it was doing in my life. And my goal was just to bring it back to here because we'd have to go all the way up to Buffalo. And that's quite a ministry there, too. You know, you see about 240 men come into that place on a regular basis that want to get deeper with God, and that really speaks to you. So, my flesh was really raising up, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this chapter. And what I found out is I go to this meeting, and we're giving our squad leaders and our accountability partners, and for some reason, the guy across the table looks at me, and he goes, hey, I think this guy wants to be my accountability partner. I'm like, oh, jeez, I'm a mess right now. I don't need this, you know what I mean, or whatever. And I'm thinking, why does he want me to be his accountability partner? And to be honest with you guys, it wasn't about me. That man, I was singing about the song, Break Every Chain. That guy literally came to me, and he couldn't graduate because there's some things, but he goes, I'm a doctor. He goes, I have a hard time. Now, this was before they legalized it here in New York. He says, my mind is struggling, and I I smoke marijuana. I try to get it to where it needs to be. So, well, geez, okay. I said, but you know you can't graduate. He says, no, I get that. So it wasn't about the graduation part, but I got to tell you, talking about breaking every chain at the end of the story was, is it wasn't about me, but it was God intervened. And by the end of Fight Club 10 weeks, he got delivered of marijuana. That's what the ministry's about, guys. So take yourself, put it aside. There's men out there that need each other. And we need to get unified because we're up against satanic attack in our government right now. It's destroying the image of masculinity in America. That's what they're doing. So it's important, okay, guys? So we need prayer. Pray for us. Thanks, guys. I love you all. Here you go, Joe.
You shut it off back there. Thank you. No, you're good. Thanks, guys. Ray, thanks for your service, man. God bless you. Our labor is not in vain. Father, we bless your name. We're so thankful that you, our God who is in the midst of us, is mighty to save. We're so thankful, God, that your word tells us that you're coming quickly for your bride. And we, just like these guys have spoken about today, have a personal responsibility to get ourselves ready to meet you face to face. So we pray, Father, that you would use your word today to challenge us, to touch us, to purify us, to direct our lives in a way that would just put us in a sweeter fellowship with you, Lord, and it would really just give us the ability to honor you and to glorify you. I thank you for the lives that are in here today. I thank you for the families that are in here today. And I pray with everything that is taking place in this crazy world in which we currently live, in our country, in our state, God, that we would remember you are at the helm. And when you tell us we're going over, we're not going under, God. So help us to keep our eyes on you. You're the author and the finisher of our faith, and I believe this church age is going to finish up quickly. So may we be ready to see you face to face. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in Genesis chapter 12, if you want to turn there with me. Ray, I was going to let you keep rolling up here, man. I was going to roll right out of the way. Okay, so we're jumping. Okay, last week we saw, and I hope that you really saw the Tower of Babel for what it was, because it wasn't like, you know, the Tower of Pisa going straight up into the clouds, but it was actually a ziggurat. It was a worship tower that was trying to make connection in the spiritual realm. They did it under the leadership of Nimrod, who is a man who wanted to live defiant to God and what God had called his people to do. So on the heels of that, we see down through the lineage, we see that the hearts are going hard again, and people are getting defiant to God again. But God had promised that he wasn't going to flood the earth again so that judgment wouldn't come in that form. But what he had to do is he had to take the people and he had to scatter them to all nations of the world. He had to confound their language. So as we track through the lineage of some of these people, we get to an individual by the name of Abram. And I'll probably screw up and say Abraham because his name will be changed to Abraham. But at this point in the beginning, his name's Abram, which means exalted father, soon to be changed to Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. Now in the Bible, when we look at this individual and he's referenced throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see that God's going to do a great work through his life. He's known as the father of many nations. But one of the titles that I love about Abraham, and it's mentioned three times, twice in the Old Testament, once in the book of James, is that he was called a friend of God. So when God looked down on earth, he would look at Abraham and say, there's Abraham, he's my friend. And what an amazing thing, what an amazing perspective to have from God as he looks upon our lives. So he's also called the father of all them that believe. There's numerous biblical references to Abraham in the Bible. Some of the main ones, Hebrews 11, Acts 7, Romans 4, here in Genesis. But his life is going to speak into our souls. And it's amazing because really what I had written down here, the things that God was ministering to me, kind of teeing off on what Ray said, almost the same thing verbatim, is his life speaks into our souls that knowledge alone is not accomplishment in this life. Knowledge alone is not accomplishment in this life. It's great if you know the Bible. It really is. I mean, we should know the Bible, but knowledge alone is not accomplishment in this life. It's the personal application of knowledge where the accomplishment of God takes place in our life. Just like what Ray was saying about Fight Club today. It's that applying. It's the application of knowledge. Where is this seen in us? It needs to be seen in us and not just heard from us. So we're picking up at the end of chapter 11 here, just to let you know a couple things about Abraham's life. He had experienced some heartbreak, all right? He lost a brother. Okay, he lost a sibling. His brother died probably a premature death. Who was this brother? This brother was the father of the individual that we know to be Lot, who's going to hook up with Abraham, and we're going to see him through Genesis, okay? And his wife couldn't have children. So a couple things taking place in his life that were difficult, heartbreaking. I think Lot kind of adheres himself to Abraham, probably meeting needs in one another's life. He didn't have a son. He no longer had a dad, but they had a common connection of Abraham's brother and Lot's dad that they loved. So this is what we're seeing with Abraham is Abram as we get into chapter 12, okay? So in chapter 12 here, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country from thy kindred and from thy father's house on a land that I will show thee." All right? Now, where is he living at this time? He's at Ur of the Chaldees. Ur of the Chaldees was a very pagan place, okay? It was like a capital of idol worship. It was false religion, paganism, worship of every god, but the living and the true God. The main deity of this area was the moon god that was called Sin, of all names. He was called Sin. So we see here that God had said unto Abraham, but there's a little bit more than that, than just him speaking to Abraham, because Stephen fills in for us a little bit out of Acts 7 what actually happened. And this is what Stephen says. He says, "The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran." So what does this mean? This means that there was an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ that actually met with Abraham, okay? He met with him. He had this conversation. Now we're seeing in chapter 12 what was the crux of this conversation. See, the big thing is, as we see this, he's going to invite him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, the place of pagan idolatry and pagan worship. Is we need to remember so many times that God is extending the invitation to us out of something. When I got saved in 1994, God invited me to Christ, but in inviting me into Christ, he invited me out of an old lifestyle that I was living that was unbiblical, that was sinful, that was self-centered, selfish, contrary to the very nature of God. And in his grace, he sanctifies the life of a believer by not us going cold turkey all at once, but by God slowly just removing from our lives the things in our life that he doesn't want there, that he knows, number one, won't glorify him, number two, will bring harm to our lives. So we see here that Abraham is given an invitation out. Probably Noah, a lot of people who studied these genealogies believe that Noah was alive during the life of Abraham, at least in the beginning of it. There was probably an influence there. If it wasn't a physical face-to-face influence, it was at least the legacy of Noah, that here's an individual that can walk with God when no one else can. So what does Abraham do? He experiences the true and living God, and he chooses to respond to his word. It says, "Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you." He doesn't even tell him the land. He just says, "Hey, I want you to go." Go where? Just go. So you think about this, and you know, sometimes we need to recognize that God doesn't always unveil the full revelation of his plan, but he gives us the steps in fulfilling them, okay? I'm in my early 50s, and you know, I don't know how this is all going to play out in my life, but I know he's given me the steps of where I'm at today, you know, and what matters is where I'm at with God in those steps that he's called my life to. And I know that anytime God has asked me to do something, if he's given me the strength to do it, I don't regret it. There's no regrets. You know, my son just got in the electrical union, my old union, and I did that for 13 years before God called me full-time in the ministry, but he brought home the sheet, right? And I left in 2000, right? 2000, yeah, I left in 2003. I left the electrical union, you know? So he brings home the sheet, and I remember what I used to make, and I remember the benefits I used to make, and then I saw the sheet, and I'm like, for crying out loud, it's like everything doubled, you know? I'm like, this is amazing, you know? And I'm thinking, wow, I could be making some good money, you know? But then I got thinking about what God had called me to, and, you know, nothing compares to being in the will of God. Nothing compares to being smack center with where God has placed you. But with Abraham, you know, and sometimes, you know, we ask ourselves, you know, if you want to be used by God, God's going to call you to take steps. And sometimes you wonder how these things are all going to work out. Didn't Mary, remember Mary? Gabriel shows up and you know, you're going to give birth to the Son of the Highest. And you know what she says? She goes, How is this going to happen? And what does he say? Here's the message. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. How's it going to happen? The Holy Spirit's going to make it happen. And for your life and my life to be a life of faith that's going to be effective for the kingdom of God, fulfilling the purposes for what you were created for, you know who's going to do it? The Holy Spirit's going to do it. He's going to be the one that gives you the power. He's the one that's going to give you the faith. He's the one that's going to open the doors for you so that you can fulfill your godly purpose while you're here in this life. He had to go. Here's the thing, and this is the thing about Abraham. Abram at this point, all right? I'm done apologizing. It's Abram at this point. It's going to be Abraham, so whatever I say, I say. He could not become, all right? He could not become who he was designed to be if he stayed in the same place, living in the sphere of all the old influences, okay? Living in the sphere of all the old influences. He couldn't be who God had designed him to be. We remember that with a guy named Demas, right? Demas got invited out. He served God for a season, and you know what he did? He went back to those old influences, and I'm sure regretted that at the end of his life. But we see here that Abraham, God gives him these promises. He's going to go to a land that I'm going to show you. And this is what Hebrews 8 tells us. And I think this is the important thing, okay? You can write this down. Hebrews 11, verse 8. I'm going to read it to you. By faith, okay? Faith. Remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's where we get our faith. Faith isn't something that I just believe to be true, okay? Faith comes into our souls at the reference point of where we get it, the Bible, okay, the Word of God. Jesus said that thy word is truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So Abraham heard his word. So this is what's spoken about Abraham by the writer of Hebrews, probably Paul, by faith, okay? We're focused on faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. So what do we find about the life of faith? The life of faith is always linked with obedience to the Word of God, okay? Look, if you're coming here today and you're just playing church and your life doesn't line up with the Word of God, you're not walking in faith. The only person you're fooling is yourself, okay? The life of faith is always linked to obedience to the Word of God. That's what we're called to as Christians. That's why when they said don't have church, we had church. You know, and I'm not trying to be on a soapbox here, but it's so important that we adhere ourselves to what the Scriptures say, all right? I like what, you referenced Tony Evans today, I like what Tony Evans says about faith. Faith is believing something to be so before it is so, knowing it will be so simply because God said so, all right? So believing something to be so before it is so, knowing it will be so simply because God said so. You know, that was Tony's definition of faith. But Abraham has to leave. What's he leave? He leaves his place of work. He leaves his place of worship. He leaves the closest, some of the closest relationships, his family, some of his property and possessions. He's going to take some with him, but he's going to leave these things. And look what it says here. Look what God says. Okay, because our lives are about God working in them. It's not us working for God. It's us responding to God and watching God work for us and work through us. He says, seven things. I'm going to make thee a great nation. All right? I'm going to make thee a great nation. At this time, the population of Israel was zero. Then Abraham shows up. The population of Israel today in Israel, not just Jews across the globe, but in Israel right now, 9 million. All right? And I'll bless thee. And he did bless Abraham's life. He goes, I'm going to make thy name great. All right, now remember, go back to Babel last week, right? We're going to make a name for ourselves, you know, pounding their chests like a silverback gorilla, you know. But God says, I'm going to make thy name great. And remember when Jesus was encountering the religious hypocrites, you know what they said to him? Are you greater than our father Abraham? God did make his name great. His name was great amongst people who believe and even the people who didn't believe. He says, I'm going to make you a blessing. And you know what he tells them? I'm going to bless your allies. That's important to remember. Our past administration underneath Donald Trump did more to strengthen our ally ties with Israel than probably any other administration before him, and certainly not this joke after him. But we are blessed as a country because the promise here is I will bless those who bless you. Abraham, father of Israel, Israel. That's why I'm going to tell you what. You should have Israel elevated in your heart to a huge degree. And if you think, well, Jeff, why should I do that? They're just a nation over there. They're Jewish people. They gave us our Messiah. They gave us our Messiah because without their Messiah, every soul in this room goes to hell. But because of that Messiah who was pierced on a cross and shed his blood, every soul in this room has the potential to be saved if you will make Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, your Lord and Savior. I'm going to curse your enemies. Make it happen quick, Lord. And I'm going to bless future generations, okay? That's us here today. We're blessed. We're blessed. And the source of our blessing can travel all the way back to the faith of Abraham, who would eventually birth the Jewish nation, who would give us our Jewish deliverer, Jesus Christ. So in verse 4 it says this, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Look at the follow-through here. As the Lord had spoken to him. We look at things like this and we see, you know what? Nothing happens if we don't respond as the Lord has spoken to us. If we don't respond as the Lord has spoken to us, we become ineffective. We squander precious time. Months, it can turn to years, it can turn to decades, it can turn to a life. That when it's all said and done, it's like, why didn't I just do as the Lord had spoken unto me? I want you to notice this about Abraham. He departed, okay? He departed to God, not from God. We live in a day today. You know, I feel like so thankful you come here. So thankful that we're a family. But we're only a family for those who are born again here today. And I look at this and I think, you know, Abraham departed to the Lord, to his will, to the direction he called. But we're living in a day where so many people are departing from. Why? Why would people leave walking with Jesus Christ? Where else do you find peace? Where else do you find hope? Where else do you find satisfaction in the soul thirst being quenched and the soul hunger being fed? Where else can you find it? He's worthy. He's so worthy. Where else can you find someone that loves Jesus, loves you like Jesus Christ does? And we only love Him because He first loved us. But we have to ask ourselves, am I departing to the Lord or am I departing from the Lord? Because these are important things to ask ourselves, because the Bible has prophesied what it will be like before Christ comes. And He says, even before I come, am I going to find faith on the earth? For many people, they're going to apostatize. They're going to turn away from the faith. They're going to want to get their ears tickled. They're not going to want to hear sound doctrine anymore. It's not going to be Christ. It's going to be this churchianity. It's going to be filled with buildings, but they've become nothing more than social clubs, because our common connection isn't the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the wonderful Word of God. It's the fact that we have hobbies that we have in common, or we're raising kids together, or whatever. The pedestal and the connection to this church is Jesus, period. And that's the way that we have to keep it. So we see Abraham here, and he departed as the Lord had spoken to him. I look at things like this. God speaks to me in pictures, but if you look at a fulcrum, if you don't know what a fulcrum is, it's a teeter-totter. Okay, the teeter-totter has that common hinge point in the middle. And we look at these things, and I think about Abraham, and I think about the life of Abraham. He had the opportunity to either walk back because of his love for the world, or he had the ability to walk in a direction God had for him because of his love for God. And we need to ask ourselves and be honest today, what's increasing in my life? What's truly increasing? What's truly decreasing? Is it a love for this world and what it has to offer us, this fallen system that's at enmity against God? I'm not talking about the parks and the landscapes and the sunset. I'm talking about the things that it has to offer you to everything that would pull you away from God, or is it our love for God? And the answer is simply this: how does our life line up with the Bible? How does my life line up with the Scripture? Because that's going to tell me where my love is truly at. There was a choice to be made, and Abraham made it. He departed to the Lord. He did not depart from the Lord, though he could have. And it says here that Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, what does that tell me? I'm telling 75 years old, man, it's never too late to take a step of faith for the kingdom of God. Never too late. I mean, for crying out loud, 25 years from now, they're going to have a kid. Better than me. We'll get to that later. And they departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and in the land of Canaan they came. Now remember, the Canaanites, man, they were a wicked people. This was a vile bunch. This was a group of people that needed to be wiped out. They were spiritually contaminated. They were very evil pagan worshipers, false religions, in touch with the satanic realm. And it says, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem and the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed. Now listen to this. Unto thy seed. Hey, God, remember Sarah? She can't have kids. You know? And Lot, I love him, but he's not my seed. God's speaking from the eternal dimension into the temporal dimension. Abraham didn't see Isaac. God saw Isaac. Imagine the things in the will of God that God sees for your life that you can't see for your life. But these things that will actually manifest themselves in such a way, blow your mind, build your faith, accomplish great things for the purposes of Christ, if you'll just put your foot in a direction of faith. If you'll just take a step in the Word of God, in what He's speaking to you personally. The smallest thing, heading in the right direction and knowing that the blessings of God lay ahead, and He's got things ordained for your life that you can't even comprehend right now because you can't see Him, but He already sees them taking place. Now, and I'm going to give thee this land, Israel. Actually, bigger than what they have now, but the land of Israel. And remember, they got scattered out of their land in 70 AD under the persecution of Titus Vespasian. But then they were regathered again as a nation, fulfilling Bible prophecy. So huge, they were scattered to the uttermost parts of the earth. They come back, they become a nation. May 14th, 1948, I believe that is the fulfillment of the Olivet Discourse prophecy that the fig tree will blossom. And the generation that sees the fig tree blossom, Israel becoming a nation again, May 14th, 1948, shall not perish until they see all these things come to pass. Israel was barren land. You know what now? Look at in 2020. Now think about this. It was like a desert, barren land before they became a nation in 1948. There was $49 billion fruit and nuts of their exports. In 2000, the flour exports exceeded $50 billion. It's a beautiful country because you know what? If God says the fig tree, Israel's going to blossom, Israel's going to blossom. And that's the thing that you're going to understand as you study the Bible and as we look at these things and even as we look at Abraham's life and that he's going to bless those and that out of his loins, you know, his seed, you know, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. If God says it, God's going to do it. And that's so important because we just got done with the book of Revelation and we look at things that seem so unfathomable. But I'll tell you what, when God speaks it, it'll come to pass. The unfathomable is the soon to be inevitable. God's promises come to fruition. We come in the other day. Maybe you saw it Friday morning, right? Everybody see that rainbow? That thing was a monster, right? So we're driving in and the kids all see it on the way into and we're talking about the promises of God. Oh, look at the rainbow. You know, just went through that in Genesis. God's never going to flood the earth again. You know, we're looking at the rainbow. We had a little pause. I said, yeah, but he's going to light it up on fire. 2 Peter 3, I can show you. And I tell my kids those things to hopefully remind them in this life what's a true treasure and what's a counterfeit treasure. It's far too often, even in the church, we can be pursuing the counterfeit treasures and lose sight of the true treasures. The true treasures of this life is simply this: what Jesus died for, who Jesus died for. That's the treasure of earth. Everything else, fool's gold, has no lasting value. Two things make it into eternity: human souls and the Word of God that is eternal. So, we're going to leave it there. All right? It's quarter after, so the Sunday school teachers don't come hunting for me. You can close up your Bible. I want to reiterate to you that, you know, the guys did a great job presenting the Fight Club today. Great ministry for men. Maybe a timely one right now for some of you, things that are going on in your life. But I do know there's a lot going on right now. And before we close, I've gotten texts, I've gotten phone calls that what's happening right now to us as a people is just wrong. It's tyranny. It's overreach. It's the stripping of us being able to have our own rights following our own convictions. And it's just dead wrong. And if you're in here today and your job's in jeopardy because of what Albany is trying to accomplish by our governoress in the White House, please stand up. We want to pray for you. If anybody in here has a job that's in jeopardy. Look at that. Remember these faces. Because they want the freedom to make their own choice with their own body. We're going to ask that God's richest blessings over you. Thank you for standing. Keep your stand. Hold your line. You can stay standing. So I want everybody to remember your faces, and I want them to be praying for you this week. But look at, if we don't hold the line moves, and it doesn't move our direction. When it doesn't move our direction, it's not moving God's direction. So Father, I thank you for these lives. I thank you for their willingness to follow what you've put in their conscience. And we know that the enemy has not made it easy on them. And I pray that you give them strength and resolve to follow your leading, God. We ask that you would give them the most favorable of circumstances in the upcoming weeks, that you would make the crooked way straight for them, and that you would speak to their hearts what you would have them to do. We pray, Father, that you would even open up better doors for them if need be, so that they can make decisions in their life by following you and by listening to what their conscience is telling them, so that they might go the way of freedom. Bless each life that's standing here. Bless each life in this room. Special blessing, special anointing, God, over each one of these. Give them just a surge of your Holy Spirit to stay strong, to stand and to speak for you, God. And let their witness be contagious, God. In your glorious name, Jesus. Amen. What happened to our worship team? They get raptured? I know you didn't get raptured.
Hey, let's all stand.
You know, the things that are currently taking place right now, just in this world, you know, if you've heard God's voice, you know, and you're here today, and you're really not saved, maybe you just come to hear the Bible a little bit, you know, there has to be a moment in a time of your life where you recognize your need for Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and for the forgiveness of your sins. And I'm telling you, right now is that day. Now's the time. Come on up, we'll pray with you, we'll give you a Bible, encourage you on your way, so that you can walk with God the way that Abram did and fulfill the purpose that you were created for. So God bless you. Have a great day today.